Well, it's good to see you. Welcome to church this morning. As we get started this morning, I want to just tell you about a couple of things that are going on that you either can be involved in or you can tell somebody else that they can be involved in. The first thing is 2 weeks from today, on October 25th, our children ministry volunteers are having another children event out on the church parking lot. We're praying for good weather that day. It'll be October 25th at 4 o'clock in the church parking lot. And it's going to be community candy and crafts. We're going to have, we know that this year trick-or-treating may not be the same. We're not doing a harvest festival, so we want to give the opportunity to get the kids to get some candy and do a craft and also give back to the community. And so we're asking kids to, that's the opportunity for them to bring their Operation Christmas Child boxes back to the church and to bring canned food that we're going to pass on to the community. So that's Sunday, October 25th at 4 o'clock. Speaking of Operation Christmas Child, it is that time of the year again that we start thinking about Operation Christmas Child. And so to help us do that, we want to show you a video this morning that reminds us what it's all about.
Operation Christmas Child is all about, is to reach children of the world with God's love. And we do that through a simple gift.
There's no greater joy than knowing we're getting to be a part of the Great Commission together.
There's no way that you would do this without volunteers. They're incredible. The energy that they have, the excitement that they have.
This is the Good Samaritan work that the Lord is looking for people to do.
When we pray, God takes your gift and he begins to navigate it around the world and it ends up in the hands of a child. God begins to answer those prayers.
After a child receives a gift box, the child is invited to go through the greatest journey.
They know the story of God and they can tell others by using the books.
These boxes can be used as a tool to touch a whole community.
The Great Commission, we're to go into all the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. That's what we do.
It never ceases to amaze me how a simple box can change the world for a child.
Well, you know, especially in this year, it's good to do things that for others and to give ourselves a sense of normalcy. And so we want to encourage you to do an Operation Christmas Child. There's actually a couple ways that you can do it this year. First of all, we do have the boxes. They're available in the church entryway that you can pick up on a Sunday, or if you want to call us ahead of time during the week, we can have them ready for you. So you can do it that way, and we will be collecting those the week of November 16th through the 23rd. But there's also another way that you can do it this year, and that is by filling a box online. The other one is not something that you're ready to do yet, you can go online and fill a box at Samaritan.org, and they have the steps there for you to do that. So those are some things that are going on. Hey, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we are here with you today. We want to worship you. Lord, we are here to hear from you. We had asked that you would speak to us. And Lord, as we go through this time, Lord, we would pray that we might just continue to experience your presence, not only in our worship, even as it is different, but in our daily lives as we go through life with you. And so, Lord, this morning, whether we are here in person or worshiping you online, we would just want to say to you, we're here to worship you. We ask for your presence in our life, and we pray that our lives would be pleasing to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, I think that all of us are living with a little bit of fear right now. I mean, I think all of us, there's a little bit of fear in all of our lives right now. Some of us may be experiencing more fear than others. Some of us may not be feel too much fear. Some of us may have more than others. I mean, I got to admit to you that I have a hard time going out in public, and just because of all the things that are going on in my life, and I find myself sitting in the car more now when we go to like Target or something like that. I'll just say, no, you go, I'll sit in the car. So I think a lot of us are living with a little bit of fear, and so I got to thinking about that. What do you do with fear? What do you do when you're living with fear? And I'm not just talking about the fear of like, oh, what do they think about me? The fear that something could happen to me, maybe even the fear of something, somebody could do something to me. What do we do with that fear? What do we say? And more specifically, what do we pray? What do we pray? And so today, as we continue in our series on praying, we're going to look at a time when a group of people had some good reason to be afraid. And we're going to look at what they did and what they said and what they prayed. And I think it's a really good pattern for us. Once again, I don't think there's any formulas in the Bible on prayers, but I think this is a really good pattern for us. And there's things that we can learn from it, especially when we're experiencing some fear in our lives. And I'm going to tell you, they prayed a really, to me, a most unexpected prayer, and a prayer that really turned out to be a game changer. It was a prayer that kind of flipped the tables on everybody. So I think it's going to be something that's really important for us to look at. We're going to be in the fourth chapter of Acts. And before I get to the passage we're going to be, let me just set the stage for you a little bit. Let me just tell you what's going on. If you're not familiar with the book of Acts, Acts is the title of his Acts of the Apostles. It's what they did after Jesus. It's what they did after when Jesus was arrested and put on trial and crucified. It's after all of that. It's after his resurrection. And the book of Acts begins with Jesus saying to his disciples, they're like, Jesus, now is the time for your kingdom. He's like, just wait a minute, guys. Let me tell you what's really going to happen here. He says, you're going to receive my power to be my witnesses. First in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. It's kind of like in your own neighborhood and in your own city and your own county. And then in the rest of the world, you're going to receive my power. You're going to be my witnesses. But the first thing I want you to do is wait. Now, I don't know about you. Right there, I would have found that hard to do. He says, first of all, I want you to wait. I want you to wait until you receive my power. And so they did. And Pentecost came along, and God put his spirit in all of those disciples, and they begin to speak in the languages of all the different people that were in Jerusalem, and became a powerful witness. And the people that were in Jerusalem was packed full of people at that time. The people there were like, what's going on? And one of my favorite things in the Bible is, this is their explanation. They couldn't figure out what's going on, so they said, those guys must be drunk. And it's my favorite line. Peter says, we're not drunk. It's too early in the morning. And then Peter did what he began to do. He preached this powerful message. And then he preached this powerful message. The Bible says 3,000 people on that day. 3,000 people on that day became followers of Jesus Christ. And then just a day or two after that, Peter and John, who are now like the leaders of the Christian movement, they're the leaders of the church, the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, they're on their way to the temple. And that's where, you know, spiritual things were done at the temple. So they were on their way to the temple one day, and they stopped on the way, and they healed a man that had been crippled since birth. He had been crippled since birth, and they healed him, and it was such an obvious change in that man's life that all the people who were used to seeing him begging by the temple every day saw him walking, and they were amazed, and folks from all around came to see what was going on. And so Peter did what Peter did. He preached another sermon. And it was quite the sermon. And you have to remember, this was just weeks, just days after the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So all this was familiar on the minds of people. And Peter, some of his sermon, he doesn't pull any punches. He talks about how Jesus was crucified. And then he looked out in the crowd and said, and some of you were responsible for crucifying him. But he didn't stop there. He also talks about the resurrection of Jesus. Well, this got the attention of the temple leaders. The Bible says the chief priests, the captain of the temple guard, and even the Sadducees, they were like, we got to stop this. We got to just kind of get ahead of this. And so they essentially arrested Peter and John, and they brought him in, and they said, by whose name or whose power are you doing these things? And they didn't dispute the healing, but they said, by whose name or whose power are you doing this? And Peter gave an answer, and part of his answer is in Acts 4:12. He says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. He's talking about Jesus. By whose name are you doing this? There's only one name that will save people, and that's the name of Jesus. Well, this didn't go over so well with the temple leaders. And when they found out that these men had been with Jesus, they said, you know, we're going to throw them in jail overnight, and we're going to decide what to do with them. And so they did that. And the next day, they bring them out of jail, and they have another interview with them, and this is where we pick it up, and this is the first point on their outline, is really they were in a fearful situation because the disciples, Peter and John, were facing opposition. This is what Acts 4:18 through 23 says. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because of all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man was miraculously healed, was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So they bring him in and they said, okay, you can no longer teach or speak in the name of Jesus. And Peter just gives this classic response. We have to do what we have to do. Jesus asked us to be his witnesses. And so that's what we're doing. We are being a witness to what Jesus said and Jesus did. And so we're going to keep doing it. And it's going to be up to you to judge what you do with that. And so they warned them. Peter and John are warned. And basically, there's a little bit of a story behind that warning. You see, that was the first step in a legal process that said, today we warn you. If we catch you again doing this, we're going to beat you with rods. So there was a threat there. And so their lives were being threatened. I mean, you think about it. You think about all that had gone on. Their leader, they'd already crucified their leader. Jesus had been crucified. What were they going to do next? They were being threatened to be beaten with rods, and if the Roman government got involved, it could get really bad because crucifixion. They could be crucified. And so there was a lot of danger to that. And so they warn them, they release them, and Peter and John, they go back and they tell the people what had transpired. Now, just for a moment, what would you do if you had heard that from Peter and John? What would you say to them if you had heard that from Peter and John? I don't know. I think we might have said, you know what, guys? You can go out in public, but we don't think you should go out together. Peter, you go, and John, you go. And by the way, just tone it down a little bit. You know, if you're going to go out in public, Peter, stop preaching these sermons. And if you do, maybe you shouldn't go around saying, you know, and some of you crucified him. I think that's not good. I think that kind of makes them mad. And maybe you shouldn't talk about the resurrection so much, because we know guys like the Sadducees, they didn't believe in life after death. And so maybe they said something. I don't know. Maybe we'd say something like that. Maybe we'd say, you know what, guys? We got to get you out of town until things cool down a little bit. They didn't do any of that. They prayed. And that's what we want to do today, is look at their prayer. And just look at what they did and what they said and say, okay, maybe there's something we can learn from this. And so as we go along in their prayer, this is the first thing we see in their prayer. They were together in prayer. They were together in prayer. Acts 4:24 says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together and prayed to God. When all the other followers heard this, they stopped. All right? They stopped. They did not say, you know what, we have to strategize what we're going to do next. They didn't have a church business meeting. They prayed. They got together and they prayed. And it says that they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Now, that doesn't mean, I don't think that means that they all recited the same prayer at the same time. I don't think it was like, God is great, God is good, thank you for this food. I don't think it was anything like that. I think what it means was they were all together in this prayer. They were all together in assessing what was going on. They were all together in knowing who they ought to talk to. They were all together in knowing the need and knowing what needs to take place. You see, one of the things that we say is that they were unified. We talked about this a little bit last week. That unity doesn't come from all of us doing the same thing at the same time, being in the same room. Goodness, we've shown that we can do that through this pandemic, as we've worshiped together at different times in different places. But it's being united in what God has called us to do. And they were united in what God called us to do, and they were united in their prayers. And so they prayed. And so the first thing they prayed was they prayed for God's power to answer prayer. They prayed for God's power to answer prayer. It goes on to say in Acts 4:24, Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They prayed, Sovereign Lord. Now, you need to understand in the original language, in the Greek, that term, Sovereign Lord, wasn't used very often. And when it was used, it was for a specific situation. It was used for a specific situation. It would be used for a time when you went before the emperor or the king. You would go before the emperor and say, Sovereign Lord, which was like saying, you know what? You're the one whose will is done here. You're the one, we do your will. We're here, you're sovereign, we do your will. You see, this isn't a whole lot different than what Jesus taught us to pray when he said, your will be done. And so what they were saying is, Sovereign Lord, your will be done. In this situation, in our life, your will be done. We want you to do your will. And you see, I think that reflects an important concept for us when it comes to prayer. That prayer is really aligning our lives with God's will. That no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, even when we're in a situation when we feel afraid, we can say, God, your will. I want your will done. And so they said, Sovereign Lord, your will be done. You are the Creator. You made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. It's like they're saying, God, we recognize who created everything. You created the heaven, the earth, the sky. You created everything. You were powerful enough to create all these things. You were powerful enough to answer our prayers. There's nobody else we would go to answer our prayers but you, because you're the only one powerful enough to do it. And by the way, you were so powerful, you created everything, everybody that's even in this situation. You know, the rulers, those people that are threatening us, you made them. You created them. You thought them up. You're more powerful. So we go to you to answer our for the answers to our prayers. You are powerful enough to answer our prayers. You are powerful enough in this situation. And it got me to thinking how that can change our prayers. When we are faced with something, we go, God, this is scary. God, this is, I don't know what's going to happen here. It is uncertain. I don't know the answers. That God is the one who created the people and even life in the circumstances that we're going through. He's the one that created. He's the one powerful enough. He's the one that I go to my to answer my prayers. And so that's what they were saying. They say, God, we want your will. In this situation, we want your will. And God, you created it. You created all the players in this situation. You're powerful enough to even work here. And man, how that would change our prayers if we started that way. If we started that way. So that's the first thing they prayed. The second thing they prayed, they prayed God's plan. Like God knew his plan, but they prayed his plan back to him. This is what verses 25 and 26 say. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servants and our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And what they are doing is basically they are quoting scripture. They go back and they quote Psalms 2. And what they're doing is saying, God, we know you have a plan. We know that you've always had a plan. We can go all the way back to David. We can go back further than that if we want. But we can go back to David and see that you had a plan. Your plan involved the anointed one. Who's the anointed one? Jesus. Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one. You've always had that plan. And God, we know you, because you said this just like centuries before all this happened. We know that you recognize that people were going to resist your plan. You have a plan. You've told it all along. And we know that people are going to resist it. And it's like saying, God, you have a plan. We know that you do, and you're going to accomplish your plan, and you're not surprised by what's going on here. This didn't catch you unaware. So like saying God said, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. He knew it. And you see, I think this is important for us to recognize that even today, God has a plan. Has God's plan changed since the time of David? Has God's plan changed since these folks prayed this prayer? No. Not one bit. Not one bit. There is a Psalm 33, 10 and 11 that says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. He says, you know what? When people plan against God, sooner or later, God says, your plans aren't working out. My plans will. When people plan against God, God says, you know what? Your plans won't work out, but mine will. And through all generations, the plan that God has on the heart of God has never changed. And you see, so sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayers go something like this. God, bless my plan. God, you bless my plan. Or God, my plan's not going right. Can you fix it for me? And maybe what we ought to be praying is, God, may my plans be your plans. May I be on the same page when it comes to what you want to accomplish in my life, in this world, and even in this scary situation that I'm going through. And so that's what they did. They prayed God's plan. The third thing they did was they presented the problem to God. They spoke the problem to God. This is Acts 4, 27 and 28. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will decided beforehand should happen. They said, this is what's going on. You know this, God, but you know this is what's going on. The Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Jewish leaders, everybody got together. They conspired against Jesus. You knew this was going to happen. This is part of your plan. But they conspired against Jesus. And you know what? They came after Jesus. And now it feels like they're coming after us. And we have a problem. You see, there is nothing wrong with saying in our prayers, God, I've got a problem. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, I've got a problem. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, here's my problem. Here's what we're going through. You're like, oh, God already knows. He has a plan. No, I don't think he minds that at all. I think he's like, you tell me. You don't hold it back. You tell me. You tell me what's going on. And I think there's some really, it's a good thing for us to do that. Because sometimes, even as we lay out the problem, God begins to direct us on what the answers will be. Even as we lay out the problem, God begins to direct us. He begins to direct us. He begins to even maybe direct us in our prayers and what we ought to pray next. And that's what happened. They come to really the heart of the prayer. They come to the part of the prayer that is really so surprising, because they prayed this really bold request. And it, again, it changed things. Now, think about this. When you're faced with a scary or difficult situation, how do you pray? What do you pray for? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes my prayer is, God, rescue me, you know. Rescue me. Get me out of here. Or, God, protect me, you know. It's okay to pray those prayers. You rescue me, you protect me. Or sometimes my favorite prayer is I like to say, God, get them. You ever do that? God, this is what this person's doing to me, and you need to take care of it for me. And so sometimes that's our prayer. They didn't pray that kind of prayer at all. They prayed this really bold prayer. This is what they said. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. He said, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak words of great boldness. And you do miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They prayed for boldness. Those people or that situation, they weren't going to let them win. They were going, and now you enable us to speak your words with boldness. They said, you make us bold. Now, have you ever prayed that prayer? When was the last time you prayed that prayer? Maybe not. But you see, it was those first century followers' boldness that played a part of you and I being followers of Jesus today. It was because of those first century Christians' boldness that they played a part in you and I being followers of Jesus today. They asked for boldness. And maybe we ought to be saying, God, Make me bold with your words. Make me bold with your words. Now, you need to understand, praying for boldness is not asking God to make you weird. Okay? Sometimes we see people who are trying to be bold and they're just like, ooh, that's weird. You know, I don't want to be weird. I'm not here to lose friends. I want to have friends. It's not a prayer to make us weird. And it's not a prayer to make us bold about just anything. He said, make us bold that we can speak your words. I think sometimes when confronted, we ought to say, God, enable us to speak your words with boldness. And I think it's a good time to do that, the times we live in. See, it's not a prayer to make us weird. It's a prayer to say, you know, in my life, with the people I live with the people I interact with, when it comes time to do it, help me to speak up with your words. I was thinking about this, and I was reminded of a time, it's been a few years now, that I was coaching my daughters in AYSO soccer. In our community, we didn't have enough kids to have a girls team and a boys team, so we had a co-ed team, and my team was really, really good. They would beat other teams by an average score of 9-2. They're really good, and nobody else in the community saw it coming. And one day after one of the soccer matches, a man who was a grandfather, one of the boys in their team, he says to me, and he goes, you know what? You have an unfair advantage. I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, you have an unfair advantage. You have the man upstairs on your side. And I felt like saying, no, my kids are just better than yours. But I didn't. And you know what? That simple comment opened up a door that we had a conversation. Little bit by little bit, we had a conversation. And I discovered he lived on the same street as we did. So over time, I invited him to church. And then he came to church. And then we sat down and had lunch together. And I answered his questions. And I shared the words of Jesus with him. And you know what? I had the privilege of baptizing him as he made a decision to follow Christ in his life. It wasn't being weird. It wasn't like, you know, speaking up when it would have been awkward. It was just when presented with the opportunity, with the time, spoke up. We can all do that. But you see, that's not the only thing they prayed for. They didn't pray just for boldness. They also prayed that God would perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. Now that sounds pretty, well, I guess it kind of depends on where we may be, our church experiences. For some of us, that sounds really exciting. Some of us go, that's really scary. I'm not that kind. That's not my church experience, you know. I don't know. But this is simply what they were praying. They were praying that God would show up in their lives and do something so special that other people would notice. That God would show up and do something so special in their lives that people would say, wow, that must be from God and I want to hear more. You see, When Jesus healed people, when he did all those healings, it wasn't necessarily for the person he healed. Because, you see, there wasn't a single person who was healed that didn't go on and die. They got healed, but sooner or later they died. So it wasn't just for, it wasn't for the people he healed. It was for the people around. They could say, wow, look, this must be from God, and I want to hear more. And that's what they prayed for. And maybe that's what we ought to be praying for in our lives. It's like, yeah, but you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to get up and going to do the same thing I did yesterday and the day before. And I know, but even in my ordinary life, even in my ordinary days of my life, God, you show up, you do something that is so special that people will say, that must be from God and I want to hear more. That's what they prayed. In this frightful time, they switched it. And through their prayers, they changed it. Say, God, make me bold. Enable us to speak your words with boldness. And God, you show up and you do something special in my life so other people can see. How about praying that? How about praying that? And I said, "Woo, that's kind of dangerous, I know. But how about praying that and see what God does?" Well, to wrap it up, last point is God answers prayers in us. This is what happened, Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. As they're praying, the building begins to shake, and it's like God saying, I hear your prayers, and I'm going to answer them. And then they begin to speak the words of God boldly because they had God's Spirit in them. The answer was already in them. God's Spirit was already in them because of their faith in Christ. God's Spirit was already in them. And He answered their prayers in them, through them. And that's the same for us today. God says, you know what? I have answered that prayer. The answer to your prayer is already in you because, you see, as Christ's followers, you are the temple or the place where God's Holy Spirit now resides. God is in you. You say, God, help me speak the words, your words with boldness. Well, okay, my Spirit's in you. I can help. I can do that through you. God, show up and do something in my life. Okay, I am in you. And so God answers He answers our prayers in us through His Spirit. That His Spirit is with us, comforting us, guiding us, empowering us to live the lives that He wants us to live. So I know, right now it feels like there's reason to be afraid. And there is reason sometimes, there is good reason to be afraid, but we can't let fear win out. Rather, we say, God, your will be done in my life. You are sovereign Lord. Your will be done. You are the one who is so powerful that you can answer my prayers. God, you have a plan, and you know what? I want to be a part of your plan. I want to live a life that is on the same page with your plan. And then God, enable me to speak your words boldly, and you show up, and you do something in my life. Because your Spirit already is in me. Let's pray those prayers. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for these people in the first century that were faced with a situation that could have been life-threatening and life-changing, yet they prayed this prayer that can be a pattern for us to pray. Lord, we live in a time today when it feels like it can be a little frightful, a little scary. Lord, we want your will to be done in our lives. We want your plan to be accomplished. We want to acknowledge that you are the one who answers our prayers. And Lord, help us to speak your words with boldness. You show up and do something in our lives. And we'll be a part of the results that you have. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once again, thank you for being here today. And as always, until we meet again, stay safe and stay healthy. And God bless you. We'll see you next week.